Well, I'm not going to preach on a passage today. I'm just going to preach on one scripture verse, and really, I'm preaching at the central part of that verse, and here's what it is, Philippians 3:3. Very easy to remember, Philippians 3:3. For it is we who are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Now, that is taken out of context because Paul is talking about something, but what I want to focus on is this phrase, we who worship by the Spirit of God. We who worship by the Spirit of God. The last time that I preached, I believe it was the last time, I was talking about Isaiah in chapter 6 when he was trembling at the awesome presence of God in Isaiah 6, 1 and following. And only fire from the altar could... which is symbolizing the Holy Spirit. Like we have these red pyramids, fire, and there's red over there with the Holy Spirit descending. It's the fire of the Holy Spirit, the cleansing, purging fire. Only that fire from off the altar could transform and enable him to participate with the seraphs in their worship. Now, the seraphs meant burning ones, and they were burning. They were on fire with the love of God. And the American Heritage Dictionary talks about the verb worship. And it has it in two ways, the transitive and the intransitive. The transitive is to honor and love as a deity, to regard with ardent and adoring esteem or devotion. And the intransitive is to participate in religious rites of worship, to perform an act of worship. But what really has been helpful to me is knowing French. Because the French word for worship is adorer. Adoration. Adorer. So when you say, je t'adore, it means I love you, but it means I adore you, I worship you. That's really the supreme kind of love. I love you supremely. This is how we are to love God, how we are to worship, adore God. Well, the title of this message, like the other titles, are all empowered for or empowered with. Empowered for worship. Empowered for worship. Now, how does the Holy Spirit empower us and empower our worship to God? How does He do that? Well, Jehovah, or we say the word Yahweh, which also is the more literal translation of the word Jehovah. Jehovah is a triune God, three in one. And that triune God is love. We say God is love. The Trinity is love, personified, really. And they, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have the most intimate love relationship in the entire universe. And one dimension of the empowerment of Pentecost is that the Holy Spirit welcomes us into the Trinity's love affair. Remember, we're talking about adoration. We're talking about worship. We're talking about the most supreme kind of love. And that most supreme kind of love is in the Trinity forever, for eternity. So we're going to look at that. Now, there's other loves. And those other loves are sometimes the biggest obstacle to true worship. Other loves that we have. Now, God puts His relationship with His people into a context of marital terms. Now, we say, what is the most supreme love in the human relationship? We say it should be marriage. Sometimes it's not, but it should be marriage. And that is a wonderful... Terry was just talking about the illustration from the theology of the body, how that God started out talking about marriage right after He created us. Male and female made He them, and said, have kids and be a family, you know? And that marriage relationship was supposed to show forth Christ and the church, and it ends up with a marriage feast at the end. So the Bible is sort of like put between two bookcase ends, and they're both marriage. It's a wonderful, wonderful illustration. But God puts His relationship with us in these marital terms. But even before Christ, He puts them in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 3. I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of all her adulteries. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery. Now, God is talking about Him being married to His people and His people committing adultery by serving false gods. So marital infidelity can end up in a separation, a divorce. And Jesus also draws the line on this in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 16. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. It says mammon, but that's what it's translated, money. Now, most of you know I'm a bivocational. All of you know I'm a bivocational pastor. I have two jobs. I have a ministry here as one of my jobs, and it's a ministry, but it's also a real job. And then I have a nursing job, and those are two masters, it looks like. But no, in both those jobs, I only have one master, and underneath that master, Jesus. Both of those jobs have to be put, and I place them there. And if I see something that's not going right, like at the hospital, I say, I'm sorry, I won't do that. I'm a Christian. I won't do that. I say that. And, of course, it goes over pretty well, because basically we're able to do that in nursing. But what it says here is in John 2:15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, the human heart was not made for loves that are in conflict with our love that we owe to God. That's not what the human heart was made. We cannot hold on to two different kinds of loves like that, because God made us to love Him. And when we don't have that love, things get messed up, and a lot of people are messed up in this world. It's because their love relationship with God is not firmed up, and we need help from the Holy Spirit. Our love for God must fill the whole territory of our hearts. You might remember, especially in the cartoons about Westerns, but sometimes in Western movies, in the really old Westerns, that there was an oft-repeated line. Well, this town ain't big enough for the two of us. Remember that? This town ain't big enough for the two of us. You know, if our love for God isn't big enough to fill up our whole town, our whole lives, the whole of our lives, then we need Holy Spirit empowerment to make it so. To make it so. The temporary loves in our lives are human loves, and they're very human. But the worshipful adoration that we owe to our Maker must be empowered by love from a Trinitarian Godhead. That love is what empowers us to love God back. To love God back. Now, human love is limited in worshiping God. Outward acts of worship alone, like circumcision was an outward act in that time, fail to bring us into a proper love relationship with God. And the context of this verse that I read, Philippians 3:3, Paul is contrasting fleshly and spiritual worship. Worship that's just done in the flesh, done by our human powers, or done by our human traditions, and true spiritual worship is from the heart. Now, Paul explains that true circumcision, what he's talking about circumcision, true circumcision, explains Paul, is a spiritual circumcision. And he talks about this further in Romans chapter 2. I'll read it from the Amplified Bible. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and true circumcision is of the heart, a spiritual and not a literal matter. True Christians don't rely on outward acts of worship. That's not what our reliance is upon. Now, we say that's not what we rely on, but it happens that sometimes that happens with people. In Philippians 3:3, which is the verse I read, "For it is we who are the circumcision and who put no confidence in the flesh," no confidence in our own outward stuff that we do. Some do put trust. Some do put their trust in baptism, church attendance, offerings, voluntary work, in order to get on God's good side. If I can just get on God's good side, I'll be all right, you know. And so they do these outward things. But these are worthless forms of worship if there's no real relationship with God. A real relationship. A vital relationship. Where we really are adoring Him. Worshiping Him. Now, experiencing a truly worshipful relationship with God comes only through the Holy Spirit. And that's where that phrase, I'm trying to focus on that phrase, we who worship by the Spirit of God. Not by our own acts, but we worship by the Spirit of God, as this verse says. R.A. Torrey was a great Bible teacher back in the early part of the 20th century. And he wrote a book called What the Bible Teaches. And when he came to talk about worship, here's what he said. To worship aright, we must have no confidence in the flesh. He's taking it from that passage, this passage we're reading. We must have no confidence in the flesh. We must recognize the utter inability of the flesh, that is, our natural self, to worship acceptably. We must realize also there is a danger that in the self we may allow the self to intrude into our worship in utter self-distrust and self-abnegation. We must cast ourselves upon the Holy Spirit to lead us aright in our worship. The divine love within the Trinity is called what? Agape love. The divine love that is within the Trinity in the New Testament is called agape. That's how we call it. It's a Greek word, but that's what's been used in the New Testament to describe the love of God, agape love. That love is our Creator's kind of love. Agape love is our Creator's kind of love, and this divine Trinitarian love is freely ours. It is freely ours. We do not have to work for this. We do not have to try to have this kind of love. This is an empowerment by the Holy Spirit. Let me read this. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says this: God has poured out His love. Not just love, a kind of love. God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given to us. Now, that, how awesome is that? Think about that for a minute. How awesome is it to have God's love, the Trinitarian love that's lasted throughout eternity, that has brought the Trinity together, holds the Trinity together, that kind of love is the love that God has poured into our hearts. That's an awesome statement. And it's not just a love that's similar to God's love. Oh, it's like. It's not God's love. It's just like God. That's not what the verse says. I'm going by what the Bible says. It's His love poured out into our hearts. It's truly God's kind of love. That's awesome. That's amazing. Poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Well, does this mean that we have as much love as God has? I mean, do we have all just as much love as God has? And no, that's not true. And It's like this. In a bucket of sand, you don't get the whole beach, do you? In a bucket of sand, you don't get the whole beach or the whole desert full of Sahara sand, you know? In a bucket of salt water, you don't get the whole ocean, do you? But it's the same sand as on the whole beach. And it's the same salt water that's in the whole ocean. And that's a good way to look at it. We have the same kind of love that God has. He's poured it out into ourselves. So why does God empower us with this kind of divine love? Why does God do that? Well, our spirit-filled worship is important to God. Our spirit-filled adoration is important to God. Jesus told the woman at the well how to get living water. That's what he was talking about to her. But when he mentioned her problems with personal sin, what did she do? She attempted to sidetrack him with a discussion about the right form of worship. You know what? That's what happens with a lot of people when you start talking about issues of love, and they say, well, yeah, you're talking a lot about love, but are you in the right denomination where you worship the Lord the right way here and this? How do you baptize? And how do you do this? How do you serve communion? If you're not doing it the right way, then you don't really love God. That's not what is important. Jesus was focusing on something. He was focusing on living water. Living water that comes from Him. And I know that's totally related to this love thing. God's love, God's personal love. If God is love, He's giving us Himself. He's giving us Himself. Jesus told her the truth when she tried to sidetrack Him. He told her the truth, and this is what He told her. And I'm going to use the Greek word that is the word en. It actually is spelled E-N in Greek. But it's the word "in" that is used in this translation of this passage. And I'm going to show the other meanings of the word. The other meanings of the word in Greek are by and through. By and through. And it puts a whole different understanding on the translation of the passage. And I'll show you this. Greek word "in." Yet a time is coming. This is what he said to this woman who was trying to sidetrack him about the forms of worship. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in, by, or through the Spirit. It says in the Spirit or in Spirit and truth. But the article is often missing in like article the is often missing in the Greek translation. When it says Spirit, it's just talking about the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't say the. And so we could translate this, and I think it really does warrant this translation, is that the true worshipers will worship the Father by the Spirit and truth. By the Spirit and truth. And for they are the kind of worshipers that God seeks. God is seeking these worshipers? Yes. Seeking me, God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship Him by the Spirit, or in Spirit, but by the Spirit and through truth. God is Spirit, and guess what? We are spirits. God is Spirit with a capital S. We are spirits. We are spirit beings with a lowercase s, you know? Mere outward worship is unacceptable. Mere outward worship is unacceptable when God has made Himself available to empower us and enable us to worship. And that empowerment is by the Holy Spirit. And it says in that passage that Jesus said, God is seeking for spirit-filled, spirit-empowered worshipers. I'm going to read it again. For they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. And that's why the Holy Spirit wants to welcome us into the Trinity's eternal love affair. It's the only way to be empowered for truly spiritual worship. Do we like to be appreciated? Do we like appreciation? Do we like hearing it? Do we like hearing it from those we love? We like our loved ones to appreciate us and say so. Does it make us happy? Do we get blessed when we hear it? This is how God feels. This is how God feels. We have these emotional responses because we are created in the image of God. God, except for this one thing, we're created in the image of God who has these emotions, but He experiences such feelings infinitely, infinitely more deeply than we can know. Think about that. The appreciation that we have, God has that appreciation. That blessing. He feels that blessing. He loves to hear it infinitely deep, more deeply than we do. Think about that. That's an amazing thing. There's a worship song that we sometimes sing at camp. Come bless the Lord. We probably need to learn that song. It's a great song. Come bless the Lord. We come together to worship, right? We come together for worship to bless the Lord, to bless Him, to make Him happy, to make Him appreciative of our love for Him. And that's amazing that God puts Himself in that place where He can be blessed by us, His creatures. However, we cannot fully love Him back. We cannot rightly love Him back until He fills us with His own kind of love. Trinitarian love. That's the love. It's like a divine glue. A divine emotional glue that holds the Trinity together. It's also the kind of glue that binds us to that Trinity, that triune Creator. That divine love transforms us into those who worship by the Spirit of God. Worship by the Spirit of God. Why I chose that verse and why I chose that phrase from that verse. We worship rightly. We worship properly. We worship fully. We worship with true worship, true adoration when we worship by the Spirit of God. Having no confidence in our own selves or our outward forms of worship, but trusting in Him to empower us for worship. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit empowers us. Let's always seek that empowerment. And whenever we come together like that, let us know that we can't just come together. We must depend upon Him. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for this one little phrase that is so well validated in the rest of Your Word. That we look to You. And Lord, not just for worship, but for living out this love. This agape love that is the glue, the divine glue that holds the Trinity together. God is love. And when we think about that, Lord, we think about loving other people with that same kind of love. Surely, Lord, this is our calling. To be like You because You love us in that way. And You want us to be bound together with You. And worship is one of those ways through Trinitarian love that we can do that. Lord, help us to do it and help us to always seek to be that way because we know You are seeking us to be those kinds of worshipers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.